All right, Jabosa, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Chafchas. And we are beginning at the Gemara on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. So we have a beautiful, beautiful Gemara ahead of us today. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Says the Gemara. Oso Leman. So remember, Jabosa, the first thing the Gemara is picking up with is the first part of the Mishnah. So remember again, 27b, last line on the page. So the Mishnah began with the statement of Kishem Shamayin Bodkin Oso, Kach Hamayin Bodkin Oso. The same way that the water checks her, the water also checks him. So asks the Gemara, Oso Leman. So who is the him that we are referring to over here? Who is this individual whom the water is checking? So if you want to say that it means that when the water ultimately checks her, the water checks the husband as well to go ahead and see if he is free from culpability as well. So So first of all, what did the husband do? So top of chavches di ispe avon bat gilei. So maybe you want to say that if the husband is guilty of something, so the waters check him as well. Now, say guilty of what? Take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says over here, di ispe avon sheba aleha la'achar shenistera. Maybe the husband had relations with her after she was secluded, and therefore the Gemara is teaching me, the Mishnah is teaching me, that if he did, the waters will go ahead and have an impact on him as well. Or I will say, the other Mefarshim also understand that maybe it's saying, let's say the husband himself engaged in his own extramarital affairs, so maybe the water would check him as well, to which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why that doesn't work. So the Gemara says, the I isbe avon bad gile maya, to which the Gemara says, ki isbe avon bedidei, mi bad gile maya lidida. But one second, if the husband himself is culpable of certain things, will the waters work at all on his wife? V'hatanya, but we learned, the pasuk says, V'nika ha'ish me'avon, v'ha'isha ha'hitisa es avona. The pasuk says that the man will be clean from any type of iniquity, and the woman will bear her sin. And we dash it from there what? Bizman sha'ish menuka me'avon, hamayin botkin es ishto. Only when the man himself is free from culpability does the water check his wife. However, ein ha'ish minuka me'avon. But if the husband himself is not free from sin, ein ha'mayin bodkin es ishto. The water does not check his wife. So therefore, again, here at the Gemara is saying that lemaisa, at the end of the day, it can't be that the oso of the Mishnah means the husband, because if the husband is culpable in some way, then the waters don't work at all, which is actually very interesting. So it comes out, by the way, according to this, that you could have a situation of a woman who did commit adultery, but yet not die through the waters. And the reason for that is because if her husband is not free from guilt as well, whatever type of guilt the Gemara is talking about, the mice of the waters would not check her. So therefore, coming back, the Gemara explains when the Mishnah says, Kishim Shamayin Botkin Oso, Kachamayin Botkin Oso, the same way the waters check her, they check him. Him can't be the husband. Because again, if the husband is culpable, then the waters don't work on her at all. Ella, the Gemara says, the Ella Laboel. Rather, it must be that what? It must be that the Oso that we're talking about is the adulterer. That the same way that the waters go ahead and check the woman, they will also check the adulterer. And the same way that if she dies as a result of the adultery she committed, so too the adulterer will die as well. To which the Gemara says, one second. Well, if that's the case, listni kediktani seifa. Then Abba said, the verbiage of the Mishnah is bothersome. Because then the resha of the Mishnah, the first line of the Mishnah, should read like the seifa. What does the seifa, what did the end of the Mishnah say? Kishim sha'asur labal, kach asur labal. The end of the Mishnah read that in the same way that a woman, a sota, is usher to her husband, so too she is usher to the adulterer. So say, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Ela laboel, listni, kach botkin es abal behedya, kiditani seifa behedya, kach asur laboel. Velo tana kach asur lo. So Moses says, here what the Gemara is asking, if the first part of the Mishnah is really talking about the adulterer, then why doesn't the Mishnah say, kishim shamayin botkin es haisha, kach botkin es boala? So too they check the adulterer. Why does it say, oh, so mean, what the Gemara is asking is, Why use an ambiguous lashon of oso if it's dafka referring to the adulterer? To compound, so that's question number one. But to compound that question is that using oso really goes ahead and undermines Mishnah symmetry. Because at the end of the Mishnah says, the same way that she's asur to the husband, she's asur to the boel. Same way she's asur to the baal, to her husband, she's also asur to the boel. If you're already mentioning the boel in the seifa, why not mention the boel in the reisha as well? To which the Gemara says, Li'olam Laboel. The Gemara says, still we're sticking to our guns, and the Oso, the individual named in the first part of the Mishnah, when we said the same way that the warders check her, they check him as well, the him refers to the adulterer. The Reisha, so why doesn't the Mishnah mention the adulterer explicitly in the Reisha? The Reisha, Aidi Ditana Oso, Oso, Tani Oso. So we'll say, so therefore the Gemara says, we're really trying to provide some level of symmetry. And in the same way that in the opening part of the Mishnah, it says, Oso her, therefore we also go ahead and say, Oso him. Seifa, Aidi Ditana Baal, Tana Boel. But in the last part of the Mishnah, since we use the word Baal, husband, therefore again we use the symmetrical term of Boel as well. So we'll say, so bottom line from this particular section is that the Mishnah is coming to teach me that the same way that the warders check her, so the warders check the adulterer as well. Now the truth is, the warders check the husband, but they check the husband in a different way, which is the warders are only effective if the husband himself is menuka me'avon. But if the husband is not menuka me'avon, if the husband himself at the end of the day is not free from sin, then lemaisa, again, the waters will not work. So again, two important lessons already just from today. Shenamar, ubo, ubo. So remember again, the Mishnah said, how do we learn this out? How do we learn this out? That the waters check the woman as well as the boel, because the pasuk says, ubo, ubo. I must say, remember again, we had this kasha, iboiluhu. Well, now the Gemara is going to ask, iboiluhu. So here's our kasha. Ubo, ubo, kama, excuse me. Ba'u uba'u kamar, oh, uba'u uba'u kamar. I'm supposed to say, so listen to this interesting question the Gemara asks. So what's the drasha based on? Is the drasha ba'u uba'u? Is the drasha based on the fact that the pasuk could have just said ba'u, right? But instead it has the extra vav of uba'u. So is the drasha based on the vav? Or is the drasha based on the repetition of the word uba'u uba'u? So you'll say to yourself, who cares? Right? You'll see why it matters in just a little bit about the nature of the drasha. So again, the shaila the Gemara is asking over here is the drasha based on the extra vav? It could have just said ba'u, that the waters will come into her, but instead it says uba'u, the extra vav. Or is the drasha based on the repetition of the word ba'u ba'u? You'll see why this makes a difference in just a little bit. So yibaylu, ba'u uba'u ka'amar, is the drasha based on the vav? Or uba'u uba'u ka'amar? Or is the drasha based on the extra word? So tashma, so the Gemara learns from a braisa, k'shem sha'asur leba'al, kach asur leba'al, the same way that the sota is asur to her husband, so too she is usher to the adulterer. Shene emar, nitma'a v'nitma'a. Because the pasuk says, the pasuk could have said nitma'a, but instead it says v'nitma'a. So what's that? So the Gemara seems to be saying over here that Rabbi Akiva is darshaning the vavs. That it's the presence of the extra vav that ultimately allows for the drasha. So the Gemara says, v'adayin tibayt, but I can ask the same kasha. Nitma'a, nitma'a ka'amar, oh, nitma'a v'nitma'a ka'amar. Well, so I can ask the same question of nitma'a as I have by ba'u. Is it the double lashon, the fact that it appears nitma'a, nitma'a, is that what we're darshaning? Or are we darshaning the extra vav? So also, here's what's interesting. The bottom line is the same, meaning the bottom line is that the Mishnah tells me that a woman, that the same way that the water checks the woman, it checks the boel, it checks the adulterer as well. And how do I know that? From ba'u uba'u. So we're agreeing on the bottom line. The shaila just is, how do I get there? Do I get there because the word ba'u appears twice? Or do I get there because there's an extra vav, and that extra vav allows me to darshan? Same thing. I know that both the sota is asura, she's prohibited to her husband, to the baal, and to the baal, to the adulterer. How do I get there? And why is it because that the word nitma'a appears twice? Or is it because there's an extra vav? And remember, the extra vav can always be darshan v'nitma. So the bottom line is the same. The machlokes, or the issue over here, is just the drusha that allows me to get there. So the Gemara says, tashma. So we're trying to figure this out. Tashma. Midiktani seifa. Since the end of the Mishnah says, Rabbi Omer, shnei pamim ha'amurim beparsha, v'nitma, v'nitma, echad lebal v'echad leboil. So we'll say, so the fact that Rebbe is mentioned in the Mishnah, and Rebbe says that how do we know that a sota is asura to her husband and asura to the boel? How do we know that she's prohibited to her husband and she's prohibited to the adulterer? How do I know that? Because the word venitma'a appears twice. So Rebbe in the Mishnah explicitly says that the drasha is based on the double appearance of the word venitma'a. What could we infer from there? Now, boss, remember, in the Mishnah, it's a machlokes Rebbe and Rabbi Akiva. So if Rebbe's saying that Lamaisa the drasha is based on the double appearance of the word, double appearance of the word vinitma, so mechlal, we could infer from that, the Rabbi Akiva vavi kadarish, that Rabbi Akiva darshins the vavs. That's going to Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva is not darshining the extra word, he's actually, so we'll say, again, remember, Rabbi Akiva and Rebbe are not arguing on the bottom line. Bottom line, they're agreeing in both cases. The waters check the woman, and they check the adulterer, the boel. The sota is asura to her husband, and she's asura to the boel. What are they arguing about? They're arguing on the mechanism of the drasha. According to Rebbe, we're dashing the double lashon. The word appears twice, ubo, ubo, nitma, nitma. And according to Rabbi Akiva, we're dashing the presence of the extra vavs. The extra vav with ubo, the extra vav of the nitma, comes to include additional individuals in the prohibition. Hilchach, so I'll say, therefore, this is very interesting. Hilchach, the Rabbi Akiva, Shisa Kray Ksiva, Ksivi. Well, say, listen to this. This is very exciting. So now it turns out that what? That according to Rabbi Akiva, there are six psukim to darshan. Six psukim to darshan. I'll say, now this is it. Where are there six psukim to darshan? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says like this. Now remember what she does, Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva is darshaning words and vavs, meaning each vav, by definition, presents the opportunity for a new drasha. So look at Rashi. Shisa krai, shlosha ubau, ksuvim sham. So remember, the word ubau appears three times. Rashi says, ubau hamayim hamarim ma'ilim mechavitz vosbaltan, lo dialanu debetan vahadar yarech. So we'll say, so actually, before we read the rest of this, Rashi, so let me just say this outside. So according to Rabbi Akiva, the word uba'u appears three times. So what does that teach me? Now, Bosai, each ba'u, each presence of ba'u, by definition, is usable for a drasha. And what? Each vav is usable for a drasha as well. So it turns out that Lamaisa Rabbi Akiva has six, they call it psukim, but really in this case it's six words. Three uba'us and three vavs. That he has the ability to darshan. And listen, now what I want to do is I want to show you, let's look at this Rashi first, and we're going to go a little bit out of order. Look at the Rashi, then we'll see it in the Gemara. So let's look at Rashi again. Shisa Kroi. That's Rashi. Shisa Kroi. Shlosha Uba'u Ksuvim Sham. There are three times that the word Uba'u appears. Rashi Shisa Kroi. Uba'u Hamayim Hamarim Ma'ela B'me'echa. Litzbos Batan. So the Torah says that the Kohen says to the woman, the waters will come into you, right? Into your insides, into your stomach. Litzbos Batan, to go ahead and literally swell your stomach and distend your thigh. Lohodia lanu debetan vahadar yarech. Shalomahotzi las kidamina parakaman. So also remember, we learned this already before, that the Kohen says this in order that Lamaisa, the woman, should know that the way the waters work, that the waters will negatively impact her upon entry. Vichad Vihishka es haisha es hameh hamarim hamarim uba'u bahamayim. So we'll say there's another pasuk that says what? That the Kohen will give the water to drink. The Kohen will give the woman to drink the bitter waters. Uba'u bahamayim. And the waters will come into her. So we'll say that's litzava. Shakalish baruch gozer sheyavo bahamayim lamarim. So we'll say, so one uba'u is what we call it tzava. Tzava means the command. That's where the Torah teaches us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands that the waters will enter into her. Next, v'chad la'asiya. Another uba'u teaches me asiya. What does asiya mean? V'hishka es hamayim, v'haysa im nitma la'asiya. So we'll say that asiya ultimately teaches me that what? That lamaisa again, that if she is tamea, the waters will negatively impact her. And the kan hodia hakasav es Yisrael, demaftiach lohen shiivdeku hamayim. And the third uba'u teaches me that what? That lemaisa, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that the waters will in fact go ahead and check her. So now look at the Gemara. So what's it? So the Gemara says, Hilchach, Rabbi Akiva, Shisa Kroi Ksivi. Therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, we have six psukim, so to speak. Which, remember, again, six psukim means three uba'us. Each of those uba'us with an extra vav for six drushes. Now, Rashi just quoted three. We'll see what we do with the other three in just a moment. So listen to this. Chad litzava. So one of those uba'us, ultimately, again, is the command, so to speak, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the water enters into her. Chad, I should say, chad litzava'a dida. V'chad litzava'a dide. Listen, I remember again, what does Rabbi Akiva hold? What does everybody hold? So far we've established that the opening line of the Mishnah, the same way that the waters check her, the waters check him. Him being the boel, right? Ultimately, again, the adulterer. So now remember, what Rabbi Akiva is going to do is that for every drusha that we have regarding the Mesota, there's going to be one drusha for her, the Sota, and one drusha for him, the boel. So the first ubo, chalit sava adida, the chalit sava adide. So the first ubo, remember, and each word is a double drusha. The word itself is a drusha, and the vav is a drusha. So the first ubo comes to teach you the tzava. The tzava ultimately is like Rashi said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gozer, that the waters enter into them. Next, chad la'asiyah dida, v'chad la'asiyah didei. The next ultimately is what? The asiyah, that the waters ultimately should have a negative impact. So that's one for him, one for her. Chad liyadiyah dida, v'chad liyadiyah didei. And the last ubo is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that the waters ultimately will check them. One of them is for him, one of them is for her, the sota, and one of them is for him, the baal. So the Gemara says, "Rabbi Shabbos, so that's how Rabbi Akiva dash. It's really amazing. So Rabbi Akiva therefore has six psukim. So what's amazing about this is that according to Rabbi Akiva, built into the actual psukim of Sota is this concept that the waters check her and the waters check him. Embedded in the very drusha itself of uba'u, 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 Torah purposes is the double lashon, so that each step you realize that he's included and she's included. Says the Gemara, the Rebbe, Tilasak Raik Sivi, and well, say, remember, Rebbe doesn't darshan the vav, right? So according to Rebbe, you have three ubos, and each uba'u teaches me another drasha. So according to Rebbe, so chad l'tzava, v'chad l'asiya, v'chad l'yediya. And we'll say, now here's what's interesting. Now, this is one of these great Gemaras because the truth is, everybody's agreeing materially on the details. The Shalat just says is the mechanics. According to Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi will say, yes, Rabbi Akiva, I agree with you. The first Uba'u teaches me Tzava'a. Second Uba'u teaches me Asiya. And third Uba'u teaches me Hodia. I agree. But according to Rabbi, remember, each Uba'u only allows you to learn out for how many people? One person each. So according to Rabbi, each of these psukim is teaching me about these different steps vis-a-vis the woman. So according to Rabbi, Keshem Shamayin Botkin Osa, Kach Botkin Osa Minole. So we'll say, according to Rabbi, though, now we're stuck. Because remember, according to Rabbi Akiva, since he darshins the vavs, so each pasuk really represents a double drasha. One for her, the sota, one for him, the boel. So according to Rabbi, that ubo is only one word. We don't darshin the vavs. So where does Rabbi learn out that each of the steps of the sota applies to the boel, the adulterer, as well? To which the Gemara says, Nafgale midisanyo. We learn now from the following. This is actually very interesting. Litzbos baten, belan pil yerech. So we'll say the pasuk says, this is by the Ola, this is by the curse. Torah says, Ubom hamayim hamara me'elav me'ayich. This is very interesting. The bitter waters will come into your stomach. Latzbos baten, belan pil yerech. To swell the stomach and to distend the thigh. Now, Rebbe makes a very interesting observation. It doesn't say, bitno v'yerecho shel boel. Rebbe says that who does this refer to? Who does the beten and yerech refer to over here? Whose stomach, whose thigh? It refers to the boel, the adulterer. So the Gemara says, ata omer bitno v'yerecho shel boel. O eno ela bitno v'yerecha shel nevel. But one second, that's not how we understood it the entire time. We've always assumed that who is that referring to? It's referring to the stomach or the thigh of the woman. If that's the case, says the Gemara, kishu omer, V'naflo yirecha, hare bitnav yirecha shalneveles amor. But not because of us. The Torah already says separately about her thigh, bitnav yirecha, that they'll swallow the stent. And remember, in the previous pasuk, it's phrased b'lashon akeva in the feminine. So we've already spoken about the fact that she will be negatively impacted by the waters. Umani mekayim litzbos baten v'lan pil yarech. Mosai, Rebbe's making an amazing observation. Why does the Torah say beten and yarech in a gender neutral way? I mean, it's interesting, right? Here, the context of the pasuk is that the Torah is talking to the woman. The water is going to enter into you, and what's going to happen? So remember, previously, when the Torah describes the impact of the waters, so the Torah phrases it in the feminine that it's going to litzbos bitna v'lan pil yarecha, it's going to swell her stomach and extend her thigh, Torah's, and yet in the curse, it's phrased in general gender neutral. Litzbos batan v'lin pol yarech. Why isn't it phrased in Lashon Nekeva if it refers to her? To which the Gemara answers that what? Who is it referring to? Lan pil yarech bitno v'yarecho shel boel. Amazingly enough, because of the Torah's thing, and mostly this is in the curse of the Isha, what it's saying over here is that Lemaisa, at the end of the day, this particular phrase is gender neutral to teach us that this curse is also going on the Baal itself, which, by the way, is something fascinating, which is why, because it's interesting, the Torah Dafka teaches us this lesson in her curse. Remember, beforehand, when the Kohen is describing the process, so the Kohen tells her that the water is going to enter into you, your stomach's going to swell and blow up, and your thigh's going to distend if you're guilty, but yet, in the actual curse that she has to answer, amen, amen, the Torah Dafka, that in that curse, that's when we refer to the Boel. That's when we refer to the adulterer. So it's interesting. So why? It could be that one of the ways in which she's encouraged to admit if she really did commit adultery is how, in order to save the life of this guy. Meaning maybe she really has feelings for this other individual. Maybe she really does. So the Maisa, again, within the curse itself, she's told, just by the way, you know, even if you're willing to die for this, just know these waters won't just check you. These waters check him also. So it could be that it's just another way to get her to admit, not only to save her own life, but to potentially save his life as well. Not that we're all that concerned with his life, he's an adulterer, but Lamaisa, at the end of the day, it's just interesting that it's here. But bottom line, halacha Lamaisa, this is how Rebbe understands that the waters check the Boel as well, for the fact that the Torah uses the gender neutral lotion of beten and yerech. Fine. Vidach sabosai. So remember, if we just stop right here, so right now, this is very good, because really, it's a beautiful Gemara, because we have Rebbe and Rabbi Akiva, mamish on the same page, just different ways of getting to that page. Everyone's agreeing that waters are checking the sota, waters are checking the woman, and waters are checking the adulterer as well. Everyone agrees with that. They're just getting there differently. Remember again, Rabbi Akiva is darshaning vavs, so Rabbi Akiva's whole approach to this Gemara is quite beautiful, because according to Rabbi Akiva, built into the words themselves, each word is a double drasha, to teach you that each and every step applies to the woman and the Boel as well. Rebbe, who doesn't darshan vavs, each uba'o is only a singular drasha, teaching me again the three steps by the woman. So how do I learn out that the Boel is also impacted by the water? Beten yerech, gender neutral wording, to teach me ultimately again that it is the Boel who will die as well as a result of the waters. V'idach, what does Rabbi Akiva do with beten yerech? Because now we're going to go see, this is where it gets very exciting, because now each one has to answer what they do with the other one's drasha. So Rabbi Akiva, who doesn't need beten and yerech to teach me that the boel is usher, why doesn't he need it? Because Rabbi Akiva is learning it out from the double lashon of boel, he darshens vavs. So what does he do with beten and yerech? V'idach, ha'hu demodel ha'koin de beten bereisha v'hadar yerech. Oh, that pasuk teaches me that the Kohen explains to her that the waters are first going to impact her stomach and then afterwards the thigh. Now, remember we had this before? Because what's the issue? God bless you. The Gemara earlier said that the punishment starts with the thigh because that's the first part of her body that came in contact with the Boel, that came in contact with the adulterer. Yet we know that the waters check her stomach first because the waters check her the way that they enter. So the Kohen explains to her that as much as it should be your thigh that suffers first, because that was the first part of your body that had contact with the boel. But the waters will impact your stomach first, because that's the way they're ingested. That people should not think that the waters are defective. So according to Rabbi Akiva, interestingly enough, that phrase litzpos boten velan pil yerech, those are instructions to the woman. Those are instructions to the woman to tell her about how the water is going to work. V'idach, so how does Rebbe answer that up? Imkin lichtov kra bitna v'irecha. If that's the case, still the pasuk should have phrased it in the feminine. Let it say her stomach feminine, her thigh feminine. My beten v'irech. Why does it say beten v'irech? Again, gender neutral. Shmamina laboel. Therefore, it's not really gender neutral. It's really masculine. Shmamina laboel. Therefore, it turns out that's what? That is teaching us that this applies to the adulterer. I ve'ima kule lahachi hu da'asa. So why don't we say that this entire pasuk comes to teach me that the boil is included in the onesh, in the punishment of the woman? Im kein lichtov bitno v'yirecho. Sibosa, if the pasuk was only coming to teach me that the boil is also included in the punishment, then what? See, now you have to flip the question a little bit. Because if, according to Rebbe, so beten v'yarech is coming to teach me that the boil, that the adulterer, is also punished, then what? Then what? Then why don't you phrase it in the masculine, right? Then again, let's do even better. Don't make it neutral, but rather phrase it in the masculine. Bit no yirecho. Imkin lichtov bit no yirecho. My beten v'yerech. So why? So now we'll say, so now, if you want to tell me, Rebbe, that this teaches me that lemaisa, again, the boil is punished as well, so why not say bit no v'yerecho? So why does it say beten v'yerech? To which the Gemara answers, shmamina tarti. Oh, because the pasuk is coming to teach me two things. What are the two things, Rabosai? Number one is that the boel is punished. Yes, that's number one. Beten v'yarech doesn't refer to her stomach. Let me say it differently. Tells me, number one, that he's punished. But what else does this pasuk do? This pasuk also tells me that the kohen must give her the proper instructions and tell her that if you are guilty, the waters will impact you first in the beten and then in the yarech, in order not to go ahead and in any way kind of highlight any deficiencies in the water. So therefore, again, had the Torah just said bitno yirecho, I would have only said the drasha alone teaching that the boel is chayiv, but that the pasuk can't be used to teach me instructions. Therefore, the Torah dafka uses a gender neutral lashon. So I can learn out two things. Number one, that the boel is chayiv, the borders will check the boel if indeed he committed adultery as well. That's number one. And number two, it also teaches me that what? That the kohen gives her the instructions about how the waters will impact her in the event of guilt. So I remember, beautiful. So again, what comes out from the sugya is that number one, halacha l'maisa, the waters impact her, and the waters impact the boel. Waters impact both of them. The waters, again, let's say the husband is guilty of whatever he's guilty of. Rashi understands it as that husband had relations with her after the sota process. So in that case, waters don't work at all. The waters are simply blunted. Halacha l'maisa, Rebbe and Rabbi Akiva agree that the waters check the boel as well, but just disagree on the drasha. Rebbe understands it, again, based on beten and yerech. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, darshan zvavs, ubo. Fine. Amr Rabbi Yeshua, kachay dersh zechari. Ten rabbanam. Shalosh pamim ha'amurim beparsha. In nitma'a v'nitma. So what says the Braisa the following. There are three times in Parsha Sota that the Torah uses the lashon of nitma. It says nitma'a v'nitma. So lama, why do I need all three of these words? Why do I need to state it three times? This is actually interesting. See, which the Gemara answers. Echad l'bal. One is to teach you that a sota is asura to her husband. Ve'echad l'bal. One is to teach you that a sota is asura to the adulterer. Ve'echad l'truma. And one is to tell me that the sota is not permitted to eat truma. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi. Ve'echad l'truma. Sha'afidu hi bas koin u'ba'ala koin nifsala minat truma. Well, so this teaches me that what? That once a woman is a sota, that remember, understand that a woman becomes a sota essentially after she violates the warning. So once she violates the warning, she's already called a sota. Again, we have to just decide, is she really a sota or is she not a sota? In that state, what the Gemara is saying over here, she can't eat truma. So if she's a bas kohen, or she's married to a kohen, she may not eat truma. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, Div Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, three nitma'as teach me that she's not permitted to her husband, she's not permitted to the adulterer, and she may not go and eat truma. Rabbi Yishmael. So Rabbi Yishmael is what we're saying. This is going to be a strange exchange that the Gemara is going to question later on. Kal v'chomer. It's really a kal v'chomer. What's the kal v'chomer? Uma grusha shemuteres l'truma asura l'kuhuna. We'll say a grusha. Right. Let's say you have a situation of a bas kohen, daughter of a kohen who is married, let's say to Yisrael. She didn't have children from that marriage. And then she gets divorced from her husband. So what's the halacha? She can go back to her father's home and once again eat truma. Special halacha. Right? So now again, if there are children, she can't do that. But if she doesn't have children, she can go back to her father's home and eat truma. So Rabbi Shmuel says like this. A grusha who is permitted to eat truma, but yet can't marry a kohen, Zusha Asura Bitruma, Eno Din Sha Asura Lakuna. This one, meaning this Sota, who can't eat Truma, doesn't go without saying that she can't marry a Kohen. Now, both saying, the Gemara is going to ask later on that what are you talking about? Right? Meaning, Rabbi Shmuel, that's not Rabbi Kiva. So Rabbi Kiva made a drusha. The drusha was, three Nitmas teaches me that what? The Asota is Asura to her husband, Baal, Boel, and Truma. Rabbi Yishmael says, well, one second. Kal v'chomer, if she's asura to truma, she's certainly what? Asura l'kuhuna. Only one problem, Rabbi Yishmael, which is what? Rabbi Kiva wasn't talking about an iser for kuhuna. So we're going to come back to that at the end of Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, ma tamud lomar. So what do we learn from here? And if you take a look at Rashi, actually, take a quick look at Rashi. Rashi says, zu shepsula mitruma, meri buya de tmeke de kamrat, inu din shepsula kuhuna. So this soto is asura to truma, she should asura, of course, be psula to the kuhuna as well. Ula kaman parech, later on we're going to ask, vahalo airi Rabbi Akiva psula kuhuna klal. Rabbi Kiva wasn't talking about a sota's psula to the kuhuna. What is Rabbi Shmuel talking about? So we'll come back to that. Well, so the Gemara now goes on. Now, interestingly enough, in the Pasuk of Sota, the phraseology of the Pasuk is literally, she was defiled, and she wasn't defiled. So the Pasuk seems to be contradicting, meaning, what is the status of the Sota? Was she defiled or not? Im nitma'a lama shosa. So if she was defiled, why is she drinking? Im lo nitma'a. And if she was not defiled, lama mashke. Why does the husband have the ability to make her drink? So we'll say, so essentially, remember, what is the pasuk highlighting over here? Magid l'cha kosov shas safek aser. Now we'll say, now what is the novelty in sota? The novelty in sota is that safek is aser. The Rabbi say, essentially, again, remember, what's her status? What's her status? We don't know. We don't know. Now, we'll say, now the difference over here is we have what we call raglayim l'davar. We have strong circumstantial evidence. What's the strong circumstantial evidence? Husband warned her against being alone with a certain man in front of witnesses. She violated that warning and was alone with that man for long enough for something to have occurred. So we have strong circumstantial evidence, but at the end of the day, it's a safek. So what do you see? What is the pasuk saying? The pasuk is highlighting the safek. V'nitma, v'lo nitma. I don't know if she's an adulteress or not. I don't. That's why we're here. That's why we're at the Beis Hamikdash. So we're going to drink the waters. But I'll tell you something interesting that does come out from this is the fact that, remember, the fact that we're saying that a sota is prohibited in all of these things tells us that suffik is usr. That essentially, again, in this, magid l'cha kosov, the Torah is teaching me, magid l'cha kosov, shah suffik asura. The Torah is telling me that a suffik is usr. Take a look at Rashi. It's the second wide line, and first wide line in Rashi. Magid l'cha kosov, shah suffik asura. V'achi kamakra. This is what the pasuk means to say. Ishazu. This woman. Shema nitma, v'shema lo nitma. Maybe she is Tamea, maybe she's not Tamea. Veka Amalacha Diashkena. And the Pasuk says you should give her to drink. Levarer Hasveka. In order to go ahead and clarify the Safek. Vi lo mashkela asura. But if she is not given to drink, at the end of the day, she will remain in a state of Isser. So the novelty in Sota Rabosai is that ultimately, again, the Safek is Asura. That's why, again, Lamaisa, at the end of the day, if she says, I'm not drinking, she says, I'm not drinking. So what's the halacha? She's Asura. Now, we'll say, now again, does that mean she did commit adultery? She didn't commit adultery? The truth is possible she didn't commit adultery, but she doesn't want to drink the waters. Anything is possible. But Lamaisa, again, in that status, the Safek will still remain Asur. So look what the Gemara says. Now, this is an amazing jump that the Gemara makes. Mikan atadan l'sheretz. From here you can learn out From here you can learn out to sheretz. But I'll say sheretz is the tumah of creepy, crawly things. Look, so I umas sota. So I'll say, so first let's just take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Mikan ata, lamad kavachomer l'sheretz, safek noga betaros, safek lo noga betaros, demaksakina lo betumi safek. From here you can learn out with sheretz, that's what? If you have a safek, if a sheretz touched something or didn't touch something that is pure, that you will go ahead and treat that safek stringently. How do we learn that out? Watch this. Uma sota shelo asaba shogeg kemezid. So when it comes to a sota, shogeg is not kemezid. Now what does that mean? That lemais again, let's say a woman accidentally had relations with a man who is not her husband. Right? Again, you remember, Satan mentioned this to me before, historically, it wasn't uncommon. You had people sleeping in the same bed. So what happens? There's people sleeping in the same room. It's very dark. Accidents happen, right? So what happens? So again, Lemaisa, she has relations with a man who she thought was her husband. Yeah, okay, whatever it is, whatever the Messias is. Supposedly, that doesn't make her a sota. She should probably be a little bit more vigilant going forward. But Lemaisa, again, doesn't make her a sota. Va'onis kiratzon. Because it's not intentional. So va'onis kiratzon. And we'll say, similarly, if a woman is violated, chas v'shalom, so that, of course, does not make her a sota as well. And yet, asa basafek kevadeh. So we'll say, in sota, shogeg is not kemezid. Ones is not kiratzon, and yet again we see safek is kivadai, a doubtful case, right? A case of safek is dealt with as definitive tuma. Sheretz sha'asa b'shoge kemezit, va'ones kiratzon, eno din she'yase bo safek kivadai. Rabbi say in a case of sheretz, where what? Shogeg is kemezit. In other words, Rabbi say that, when it comes to tuma sheretz, it doesn't make a difference if the sheretz touched the item intentionally or unintentionally. By definition, if the tummy item comes in contact with the tar item, by definition it becomes tummy. And ones kiratzon. If it's extenuating circumstances that cause the sheretz to touch the item, it also becomes tameh. Then eino din sheya'aseh bo safek kivadai. Then all the more so what? All the more so, a safek should be like vadai as well. I see what the Gemara is saying over here. So if by sota, shogeg is not kemezid, and ones is not kivadai. Those are established principles. Accidental relations with a man who's not her husband does not make her ultimately a sota. And if she's violated by a man, that does not make her a sota. And so, and yet, nevertheless, by sota, we say safek kivadai. A doubtful case, we treat her like an actual adulteress. That's how we treat sota. So certainly, again, by sheretz, where shogeg is kemezid, and ones is kiratzon, then all the more so what? Safek is kivadai. A doubtful case will ultimately be resolved stringently as well. To which the Gemara says, that's fine, however, umimakom shevasa. If you're really going to compare these things, then you have to make a full comparison. Meaning, if you want to compare sheretz and sota, then you should go ahead and compare them in totality. Ma sota rushus hayochid. Now we're going to get into this more in tomorrow's daf, but the idea over here is that sota is only a suffix that could arise in Rishus Hayachid. Now what does that mean, that sota could only arise in Rishus Hayachid? That the whole way that sota, the sota suffix starts is how? Is if lemaisa, again, there's seclusion. Seclusion, by definition, bless you, could only begin in Rishus Hayochid. So the sota, this is actually very interesting, we're going to discuss this more tomorrow, but din of sota only occurs in Rishus Hayochid. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi is, Mimakom Shebasa, Hoyov lo lamarata, Dimitamina misafik al misota, Chazar vidun, Dimas sota, Ha dimitamina misafik, Rishus Hayochid, Humakom haroi listar. Because on Rishus Hayochid, where there's a possibility of being alone, Af tumah Rishus Hayochid, Sveiko tame, Ava Rishus harabim tar. The Bible said, and here's what's interesting. So the Gemara says, fine, if you want to compare sheretz to sota, that's fine. But then you should say, masota rishus hayachid, af sheretz rishus hayachid. Just like a suffix of sota is only treated like vadai, if the suffix originated in rishus hayachid, so too you should say that a suffix regarding sheretz should also only be tameh if what? If the suffix originated in rishus hayachid. Umasota davar sheyesh bo das lishael, and just like sota is something that's what yesh bo das lishael means, that you have the ability to ask the parties involved what happened. And I was saying, now granted, they may not give you the truth, but you have the ability to ask them. Meaning,
The sota is the nature of the safek is yesh bo das shal means you have the ability to ask the parties. Rashi says umas sota davar sheish bo das shal hi im nitmes im lav. You have the ability to ask them, did they become tame or not? Af safek tuma davar sheish bo benogeh zed das shal im naga im lav. Vim amar eni odeh ki gon adam otaros sheish shahaya adam asuk ben b'shashon al safek. So we'll say again, if you're going to make the comparison, just like by sota, we're dealing with a matter of safek. But the safek, you have the ability to ask the parties involved. So to I should say, the only type of tumas sheretz that is going to be tame misafek is what? Where there are parties involved who you could ask. Somebody either was touched by a sheretz, or somebody was handling taros, and there's a safek if the taros touched by a sheretz. That's when the case where the suffix should be tame. Af sheretz davar sheish bo das li shal. So too again by sheretz, the only time that ultimately again, that you should go ahead and that they should go ahead and become tame is in a case where what? Where lemaisa again you have the ability to ask. Mikan amru. Suppose I listen to this. Mikan amru. Davar sheyesh baudas lishal birshus hayachid sfeiko tame. So we'll say, what do you see from here? That something for which you have the ability, sheyesh baudas lishal. So we'll say, this is actually amazing. From here, the Gemara says you have a principle. What's the principle? That only davar sheyesh baudas lishal birshus hayachid sfeiko tame birshus harabim sfeiko tar. So we'll say, now here's what's amazing. From sota comes the paradigm for safek tumah. In order for safek tumah ultimately to be aser, you need two things. Number one, it has to involve something sheyesh bo das lishoel. It has to be something where you have the ability to ask the parties involved ultimately what occurred. That's number one. And number two, it has to have happened in Rishus Hayochid. But if you have something that ultimately again happened in Rishus, a Safek Tumah in Rishus Harabim, ultimately that Safek is tar. Again, you understand what's just happening over here. This is like groundbreaking stuff. Because again, what the Gemara is saying is like this. Sota is now going to create a paradigm for Tumah. And the paradigm for, goes like this. That if, number one, in order for Safek Tumah to be treated like Vadai Tumah, in order for Safek Tumah to be Tame, it has to satisfy two criteria. Number one, the Safek must arise in Rishus Hayachid. And number two, the Safek must involve at least one, the Safek must have what's called Das Lishoel, must involve people, must involve an individual whom you could ask about the circumstances regarding the Tumah. If you have those two ingredients present, then what? Then Sfeiko Tame. But if either of those ingredients are missing, then Sfeiko Tahar. Rabbi say, where do we learn this out from? So the paradigm seems to be Sota. Sota creates the paradigm for Safek Tumah. Therefore, the Gemara says, V'she'ein bo das lishal. But again, if the suffix involves a situation where you don't have the ability to ask, then what? Bein birshus hayochid, bein birshus harabim, sfegotar. But I'll say, if you don't have the ability to ask, then lemaisa, again, meaning when you don't have the ability to ask, I'll say, what's the case when you don't have the ability to ask? There's no people involved. So let's say, again, I'm not sure, did the sheretz touch the loaf of bread or not touch the loaf of bread? There's no people involved, there's no ability to ask. In that case, Sfeiko Tahar. In that case, Gabose will say that the doubt ultimately is resolved being this. We'll say, so again, I can't stress this enough. This is an incredible yesod. Because what the Gemara is saying over here is that now Sota has become the paradigm for Safek Tumah. So again, remember, if you want, Safek Tumah, a doubtful case of Tumah, is only resolved stringently when you have two ingredients. Number one, it's Safek Tumah B'Shus Hayachid, it's happening in a private domain. And number two, Yesh bo das lishal, you have the ability to ask. If either of those ingredients are missing, then lemaisa again, then at the end of the day, the safek will be resolved leniently. Only if there's Rishus Hayochid and Yesh bo das lishal, then sfeiko tame. But let me just read to you the next line, then we'll stop for today. The Gemara now is going to loop back. V'Rabbi Shmuel am Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Shmuel am Rabbi Akiva truma Umahader le'ihu kahuna. Suppose I said, remember the Gemara asked before? We had this. We're gonna pick up with this tomorrow, but I'll just tell you this. So the Gemara now is going back. And remember that strange exchange between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael regarding, again, Rabbi Akiva wanted to say, Nitma'a teaches me what? Woman that sota is a sort to the Baal, Boel and Truma. And Rabbi Yishmael said, it's a kal v'chomer, because if a grusha who's permitted for truma is asur l'kahuna, so certainly what the sota who is prohibited to truma ultimately is prohibited to the kahuna. To which the Gemara said, Rabbi Akiva is not talking about asur l'kahuna, but also we'll continue Meretz Hashem with that tomorrow. But just to summarize, we learned a whole bunch of important things today. So number one, we've established, just a quick review, we've established that halacha l'maisa, the same way that the warders check the woman, the warders check the boel, the adulterer. In the event that the Baal himself is culpable, the warders will not check her at all. That's number one. Number two, fundamental machlokes, Rebbe and Rabbi Akiva, just ba'olam hadrusha. Ba'olam hadrush, how do you darshan? Rabbi Akiva darshan's vavs, Rebbe doesn't darshan vavs, but at the end of the day, both arrive at the same conclusion. They argue on the interpretation of the pasuk litzbo spaten balan pil yerech, but at the end of the day, everybody seems to come around with that as well. That pasuk teaches me two things. Number one, that the ba'al is punished according to Rebbe, and according to Rabbi Akiva, that the coin gives her the instructions about how the water itself is going to work. And lastly, the Gemara gives me an incredible machlokes Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Shmuel, which we'll come back to tomorrow. But lastly, the Gemara teaches us an incredible yesodistic idea that sota becomes the paradigm for suffix tuma, because sota is novel, because suffix tuma is treated l'chumra, and what we see from sota is any case that conforms to the framework of sota, namely that as a suffix birshus hayochid and yesh bo das lishoil, the doubt arises in private domain, and you have the ability to ask the parties involved what happened. Those are the cases in which we say suffix tuma will be l'chumra, will be tameh. Any case of suffix tuma that does not comply with these criteria ultimately will be resolved leniently l'kula, and therefore will be tar. We'll pick up here Abba Seymeretz Hashem tomorrow.